Greetings, this is Agent K coming to you live from GangstersOat.com. Well, recorded live at least. Today we're going to talk a little bit about 9/11. We're not going to go off on any conspiracy theories. We're just going to talk about a handful of very relevant facts that need to be addressed. Jesse Ventura was the one that kind of sparked my interest in some of the 9/11 inconsistencies. A long time ago, he talked about two things. He talked about, one, the third tower. He said, how did the third tower fall when no planes hit it? And I was like, what third tower? I didn't realize that there was a third tower that fell, especially when no planes hit it. And so I had to, you know, research that and find that out. And sure enough, he was right. The third tower fell, no planes hit it, collapsed into its own blueprint at free-fall speed, and just like a controlled demolition. So that was what many call the smoking gun of 9/11. The other thing that Jesse Ventura mentioned was the asbestos in the Twin Towers. He said that the Twin Towers were half full of asbestos, and that when you look that up, yeah, it's true that they were half full of asbestos, and that the Port Authority was bound by court order to fix it, to clean it up. And the Port Authority applied for a license to demolish the towers, but they were denied that license to do that because all the asbestos would have created dust and would have been a health hazard. So they were forced to pay for the manual cleanup of the asbestos out of the towers. And they countersued. They tried to get the insurance companies to pay for the asbestos removal, and they lost that lawsuit. And then right after they lost the lawsuit, Larry Silverstein took over the lease for the Twin Towers, and shortly after that, 9/11 occurred. Now, I don't want to minimize the atrocity and the seriousness of 9/11. You know, a lot of people died, and it was a very serious, very sensitive, very horrible thing. And I know a lot of people don't even want to talk about, you know, any concept of an inside job. They find that, you know, outrageous and offensive. And indeed, at first, so did I. I remember a long time ago, Rosie O'Donnell was talking about, you know, on The View, about, you know, how do steel girders bend and collapse and blah, 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 blah. And she took a lot of slack for it. And at the time, I thought that was pretty offensive. It was something that I wasn't even ready to look at. Because to me, it kind of made sense that, you know, we saw a plane hit the tower. And, you know, logically, you know, that caused a lot of stress on the structure. And if that floor then collapsed, it would have put pressure on the other floors, which put more pressure. And one could feasibly see how, if a plane did run into a tall tower like that, that it could collapse under the stress. And to me that was feasible and possible. So I wasn't even really willing to look at or listen to the, you know, the conspiracy theories, because I thought they were just outrageous and offensive. I mean, Michael Moore, once again, he came out miles ahead of everyone else with Fahrenheit 9/11, and at that time, I wasn't ready to look at it. I just thought that was crazy talk, you know, aliens, whatever. I just thought it was crazy talk. But after Jesse Ventura made those two initial statements, one about the third tower, I thought, what third tower? And then the asbestos, and I thought, what asbestos? Then I took a look at Loose Change 9/11, and in the movie Loose Change 9/11, it's kind of opened up my eyes a little bit, and it starts off with discussing Operation Northwoods, which I had no idea existed. But Operation Northwoods isn't something they pulled out of their imagination. Operation Northwoods was a declassified document. It was a CIA operation signed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and vetoed by Kennedy, and it was real. So, you know, we can talk about conspiracies until the cows come home. Okay, so let's look at what Operation Northwoods really was. Alan Dulles was the director of the CIA at the time, and Chairman Lyman Lemitzer was the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And between the two of them, they come up with this plan, they signed it, and they brought it before Kennedy to approve. And Kennedy looked at it and said, no way, you guys are freaks, and he vetoed it. But and then, of course, shortly after that, Kennedy was assassinated. But the key thing here is we need to look at what Operation Northwoods was. I mean, it was at a time, a very tense time, Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, Russia had, you know, nuclear missiles in Cuba, and there was a lot of tension between the United States and Cuba over the missile crisis. You know, Fidel Castro, communist government, you know, putting in nuclear missiles. It was a very serious situation. It was a very tense situation. Operation Northwoods was a plan to commit act of terrorism on Americans in America and blame it on Cuba to gain public support to invade Cuba. Now, I agree that the Cuban Missile Crisis was a serious thing, but the whole concept of committing an act of terrorism on Americans on American soil and blaming Cuba to justify it, to gain public support to invade Cuba, that is from outer space. That's treason. You know, it's you're murdering your own people, blaming someone else to gain justification for an invasion. That's bizarre, absolutely bizarre. But that is what Operation Northwoods was. Now, we know that Alan Dulles was fired. They say it was because of the, you know, Bay of Pigs fiasco, whatever. But the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Lyman Lemser, he was transferred. He became head of the NATO command in Europe. And he actually had another plan, Operation Gladio, which was the same thing, except they actually did it. They actually implemented it. Now, I know lately Operation Gladio's in the news a lot. We've talked about, you know, the Vatican, you know, laundering money for the mafia. And we've talked about the crash of that bank where $1.2 billion, the Vatican Bank was used to embezzle $1.2 billion of that bank in Italy, which crashed. And they ended up paying like a $200 million fee to some of the creditors, but they walked away with $1 billion in profits, and how that was connected to funding raising for Operation Gladio. So Operation Gladio is in the news because it's just like Operation Northwoods, except it's something they actually did. They implemented it in Europe, and I'm not going to get too much into that. You can Google it, check it out for yourself. But Operation Northwoods is a real document that we have to address, and we have to talk about why the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so why the director of the CIA, came up with this idea, signed it, and were ready to do it. If Kennedy hadn't vetoed it, he would have done it. That's something we need to stop right there and discuss. Okay, we don't need to talk about conspiracy theories, this or this. We need to talk about Operation Northwoods. We need to talk about how a crazy plan like that got so far. It got past the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It got past the director of the CIA. It was signed and it was going to be done if Kennedy didn't veto it. So we need to talk about that because that's really important. Alan Dulles, as we know, was a longtime friend of the Bush family, which helped, you know, the Bush's multi-generational involvement with Nazi Germany. You know, one of Bush's grandfathers had assets seized for trading with the enemy during the war for funding the Nazis in Germany. And he had another grandfather that helped put the gas in the gas chambers. And Alan Dulles was the one, the family friend, that helped hide that. So Alan Dulles has been involved in a lot of bad things for a long time. So independent of any conspiracy theories, we need to look at Operation Northwoods. We need to talk about how did this crazy plan get so far? And what if Kennedy didn't say no? And Operation Gladio is our answer to that. You know, and that's something that needs to be addressed. Also, once again, the asbestos in the Twin Towers, you know, that needs to be addressed. Why did Larry Silverstein, you know, buy a lease on the towers knowing they're full of asbestos? You know, right after the Port Authority lost the court case to get the insurance companies to pay for asbestos removal, Larry Silverstein kind of buys it. You know, it's like we didn't really know that about the asbestos. We didn't really know that the Port Authority wanted to demolish the towers before 9/11. But now that we know that, clearly it's suspicious. Okay, so now I will say something about the third tower. Okay, the third tower was the one that no planes hit. Okay, and people say, well, it received a lot of damage from, you know, debris from the falling towers. Well, there was other towers closer to the Twin Towers that received more damage that stood, and they didn't collapse. And the key thing with the third tower is the manner in which it collapsed. You know, it collapsed into its own blueprint. It didn't get this big damage from falling debris and kind of fall over. It collapsed, you know, it broke at the top. If you watch the video on YouTube, it broke at the top. It collapsed into its own blueprint at the top and fell straight down. So not only did it collapse into its own blueprint like a controlled demolition, it fell at free fall speed. And that's the key thing. You know, initially when I thought, you know, a plane hitting one of the towers and that creating stress and pressure on that floor would cause it to collapse, which would create stress and pressure on the next floor to cause it collapse, and so on and so on. To me, initially, my first impression was that's feasible, that's possible. But on the third tower, it's not possible, and it's not feasible because no planes hit it. And in addition to that, the third tower fell at free fall speed. If you drop an apple from a tower and it falls at free fall speed, there's no resistance. If the towers fell because, you know, a plane hit it and it caused stress and pressure on that tower, which caused stress and power on that floor, which caused stress and pressure on the next floor and kind of pushed its way down, it would have received resistance. It would have, you know, crumbled. It wouldn't have fallen completely at free fall speed like a controlled demolition, having the load-bearing beams taken out. The only way that a building scientifically can collapse into its own blueprint at free fall speed is if the load-bearing beams are simultaneously blown out. That's the only way. And that's why there's a huge movement of scholars and architects for 9/11 truth and justice. Because scientists are saying, hey, it didn't collapse into its own blueprint at free fall speed all by itself. That was a controlled demolition. Now, we know that Stephen Jones from BYU, he was kicked out of BYU because he said he found thermite in the rubble. Thermite is this very, very, very hot substance that melts metal, and it's used in controlled demolition. And it would explain why a lot of the cars on the ground floor outside 9/11 were found melted. And it would explain why, you know, after digging out rubble from the 9/11 months afterwards, these bulldozers were still picking up glowing hot pieces of metal. Thermite would cause that. Thermite would cause that intense heat to continue so long after the planes hit it. Jet fuel wouldn't cause that. So we can debate conspiracy theories all we want. You know, Stephen Jones was a professor from BYU. He tested samples from the 9/11 rubble, and he said that he found thermite in the rubble. Now, debunkers can go back and forth and say, oh yeah, no, that's because there was chalkboards and chalk. The same elements of thermite are chalkboards and chalk. Well, you know, I beg to differ, but people can debate conspiracy theories back and forth. Stephen Jones said he found thermite in the rubble, which would be consistent with controlled demolition. And the fact that the Twin Towers, as well as the Third Tower, collapsed into its own blueprint at free fall speed, that clearly points to a controlled demolition. And we saw explosions going off. You know, when there was YouTube videos of the news clips when firemen were responding to 9/11 during their break. They were calling home, everything's okay, and all of a sudden, bam, 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 and they turn and what's that? It was an explosion. So we saw explosions going off, you know, after the planes hit. And then later on, Bush says, oh yeah, operatives were in and they planted explosives in the building. And as soon as he says this, like, okay, operatives? I thought these were terrorists, you know, and if they planted explosives in the building, why did they do that? They would have had to do it before 9/11, which would again imply, you know, a huge amount of organization. You know, these guys in, you know, hiding in caves or shooting handheld rockets into Israel, do they really have the technology to go in advance and plant explosive on load-bearing beams before they coordinate such a massive undertaking? You know, my gut feeling is no. You know, I mean, now when we talk about where the terrorists came from that were involved with 9/11, I mean, one would think that, oh yeah, you know, Canada has such lax security that maybe they came in through Canada, and yeah, that would be a concern, but evidently not. That's not how they came in. They came in through Saudi Arabia. And it's somewhat ironic and somewhat disturbing to find that one of the employees at the passport office approving American visas from Saudi Arabia, a lot of the times he would reject visa approvals on people that he thought these were suspicious. These guys have ties to terrorist organizations. And quite often, he would be overruled by the CIA, and he went public with this. And the CIA overruled his rejection of certain passports coming in from Saudi Arabia because they were suspicious for terrorist activities. So it's somewhat ironic that the terrorists who were involved with 9/11 came in from Saudi Arabia, where the CIA had this open doors thing of bringing people in on the side. Okay, I said I wouldn't go off into conspiracy theories. That might be considered a conspiracy theory, but it's a fact. The guy that worked in the passport office for Saudi Arabia, he said, and he went public, that the CIA in the past had overruled him on various visa applications that he denied. The CIA says, no, these people have to come in. And the fact that all the 9/11 terrorists came in through Saudi Arabia, that's a concern. That's a concern. But once again, conspiracy theories aside, we know that Operation Northwoods was real. We can't debate whether or not it existed, because it did. And we need to talk about how that got so far. Why on earth would someone in their right mind propose such an absurd and treasonous plan? And why on earth would, like, the CIA sign it and approve it? I mean, Alan Dulles was appointed to the Warren Commission to investigate not only Kennedy's assassination, in which he was probably one of the prime suspects, but there was also a subsequent investigation into corruption within the CIA at the time, which was, you know, swept under the carpet. Insiders investigate him. Official report is, yeah, we're clean, we're good. You know, so that really is concerning about democracy. You know, the CIA is a secret organization whose mandate is murder to get gain, and they have absolutely zero public accountability. You know, when they break the law, they're not accountable to the law. They are above the law. And that is wrong. It's dangerous. It's in violation of a free and democratic society. So, and that part of it, the sad thing is, there's nothing I see that us being able to fix that. You know, the CIA have no accountability at all. They're not upheld. They're not subject to the law. And although that we have these, you know, cute little pledges of allegiances, and we have these cute little promises to uphold and sustain the Constitution, these people are violating the Constitution every day, and they're eroding it, and they're weakening it. And that is a huge concern for democracy. You know, now I'm not going to say, you know, oh, yay, Che Guevara. I'm not going to say that Stalin-style communism is a good thing. I'm just saying that these freaky weirdos are no better when they talk about killing their own people to gain public support to invade these bad guys. When you're fighting bad guys, the end doesn't justify the means. And that needs to be addressed. You know, I'm not saying, okay, we throw away one and we go for the other. I mean, Eastern Berlin, they had machine guns pointed inside so people wouldn't escape. Okay, that was not a free republic. You know, that was not a free and democratic society, which is what I support, which is what the Constitution support, which is what a free republic is. Like in the movie Gladiator, he tried to establish a free republic, which I think is a noble quest that we shall be concerned with. As far as Che Guevara goes, I mean, everybody likes to think Che Guevara is a rock star, and, you know, I've seen some movies about him. I think, oh, he wasn't so bad. But I've heard other reports where he was in charge of death squads for Castro. So I don't know whether Che Guevara was good or bad. I think the media, I think, you know, politicians on both sides have, you know, twisted what really happened. You know, I think there's a lot of ideas within socialism that sound really good, that make a lot of sense. I just think it's sad that whenever we see, you know, a revolution or a gathering supporting, you know, that kind of social change, that an opportunist comes and takes over the workers' revolution and turns it into another dictatorship. And that's what we saw in Eastern Europe. That's what we saw under Stalin. And that's why we need a constitution to guarantee free speech, to guarantee human rights, and to guarantee, you know, freedom of discrimination based on religion or, you know, race or creed or political affiliation. So once again, that's a side thing. 9/11, we're looking at specifically at the third tower. How did the third tower fall with no planes in it? It collapsed into its own blueprint at free fall speed. That was a controlled demolition. We saw explosions going off in the Twin Towers. That was planned beforehand. You know, we know George Bush's had relatives involved with security at the Twin Towers. you know, and it was shut down, who knows why, right before 9/11. We know that the Bin Laden family built Twin Towers. I mean, there's just so much insider garbage in there. It's disgusting. But we know that the Twin Towers were full of asbestos. They collapsed into their own blueprint at free fall speed, which means that the load-bearing beams had to be blown out simultaneously for it to collapse like that. There's no other explanation. And the fact that they wanted to destroy, the Port Authority wanted to destroy the Twin Towers because of asbestos, and then they got paid out double for the 9/11. I mean, that was another absurd thing. Larry Silverstein went, you know, okay, he got insurance against a terrorist attack against the Twin Towers, but because there was two planes that hit it, not one, he got paid out double. Okay, now that had a significant impact on the financial crisis because it was a scam. You know, if I take out insurance on my car and I get into a 3-car accident, to a 2-car accident, they're not going to pay me twice the value of my car. That's just absurd. But that's what happened in 9/11. Larry Silverstein said, and the Port Authority was right by his side in the courts, you know, fighting the same insurance companies that turned him down when they wanted to, you know, to repair the asbestos. And they said because there was two planes, not one, it was two terrorist attacks, that means you should get paid out double. Larry Silverstein doubled his investment because of the 9/11 tragedy. And that is sick. That is demented. That is deranged. And that is what happened. So, once again, we need to look at 9/11. Operation Northwoods, the third tower, asbestos in the tower, you know, and the fact that Operation Gladio is in the news now. It was actually implemented. We need to talk about those things. You know, we need to put our emotions aside. We need to look at it. We need to talk about it because these are serious things. Catch you when they're eyes.